From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, it's that time of the day once again, ladies and gents. Yes, 1 p.m. is alive and well on this October 29th, 2013, and I trust that your week is going well so far. For many in the mid-Michigan area, it's a huge week due to the fact that it's Michigan week. Yes, the Spartans and Wolverines will go at it on the Spartan Stadium gridiron this Saturday. I can feel the hate in the air right now, all right? We will be diving into this rivalry and also recapping that MSU win over Illinois, something we didn't get a chance to dive into yesterday just because we were so just involved in that thrilling win for the Lions over the Dallas Cowboys. But we're going to get to MSU today, all right? And we'll be taking your calls throughout this entire show on what you think is going to happen this weekend between the Spartans and Wolverines. Give us a call right here at Current Sports by dialing 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet me at AlMartinWKAR and even shoot me an email at AlMartinWKAR.org. I will be reading your comments on this discussion not too long from now. Again, give us a call though, 517-355-9527. Don't forget about Current Sports TV, all right, folks? Be a part of the audience tomorrow night at 6 p.m. That's right, tomorrow at 6 p.m., Matthew Brown is my guest. He is the organizational head coach of the Lansing Cowboys, which are a youth football league for kids ages 7 to 15. Now, Brown is going to talk with me about the unique program and where participation is free. Free, absolutely free for those who make the team, and about safety in the youth level sport of football. Now, be a part of the live studio audience by signing up for free at WKAR.org. We tape tomorrow right here at WKAR Studios on MSU's campus. That's again at 6 p.m. And I also want to remind you all that you're also invited to join the discussion tonight at 7 p.m. at the next WKAR Community Cinema screening featuring The Graduates. Now, the new documentary explores education today through the eyes of Latino and Latina adolescents from across the United States. Now, the evening features a segment from the film and discussion with Lansing School Superintendent Yvonne Camel Connell, and educational scholar Ruben Martinez of the Julian Zamora Research Institute at MSU. To reserve free seats for tonight's WKAR Community Cinema featuring The Graduates, visit WKAR.org. All right, well, let's get to our show. Here are your current sports headlines on this October 29th, 2013. All right, Tigers manager search after a week that saw just two potential candidates get interviewed. The Detroit Tigers are turning up the heat on their search for a new manager. Now, GM Dave Dombrowski interviewed hitting coach Lloyd McClendon and L.A. Dodgers third base coach Tim Wallach last week and is now turning his attention to other potential candidates. Now, those include former Tiger Brad Ausmus, who is currently with the San Diego Padres front office, former Reds manager Dusty Baker, and former Indians manager Manny Acta, among others. Now, all except Ausmus have experience at the managerial level, something Dombrowski sees as a key attribute. I mean, who wouldn't? Now, perhaps it's telling as who is on the list and who is not, as Tigers third base coach Tom Brookins and bench coach Gene Lamont have not been contacted. Those two have not been contacted about the position. So only time will tell, folks. All right, World Series, Red Sox and Cards. The Boston Red Sox are heading home to Fenway Park with a 3-2 lead in a wild World Series. Now, Lester allowed one run and struck out seven in a strong 7 2/3 innings, putting the Sox just one game away from a third World Series since 2004. Now, David Ortiz continue his scorching hot streak. Big Papi has been unbelievable, going 3-4 with an RBI double and is hitting an just redonkulous 733 in the series. Can you believe that? 733 in the series. Oh, that's just not cool, man. All right, David Ross, he hit a ground rule double in the seventh to break the 1-1 tie, and Jacoby Ellsbury added an RBI single to extend the lead to 3-1. Now, from there, the nearly automatic Koji Uehara, he shut the door and possibly the series on St. Louis. Now, Game 6 is set for Wednesday night in Boston with Michael Wacha facing John Lackey in what could be the final game of the season. So how about that? Lester goes out there. He's great. David Ortiz, again, 733. That's just sick with it. All right. Hoke and Michigan. Well, Brady Hoke had an interesting comment describing the whole Michigan and Michigan State rivalry here. With just a few days until the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry is renewed, the schools aren't pulling any punches with the press. Now, while MSU head coach Mark D'Antonio has made his feelings toward the Maize and Blue well known, Antonio has said countless times that he hates Michigan. Hates Michigan, all right? Michigan Brady Hoke is no longer keeping mum on the rivalry. He said, quote, "We don't necessarily like them either," Hoke said in regards to the Spartans. "This isn't in an admiration society. We've got two teams that are, 45 miles apart, and that might not be enough. It is what it is." There you go, Brady Hoke. Now, while fans of the schools argue which rivalries matter more than others, for the players, it's cut and dry. Michigan left tackle Taylor Lewan said, quote, "You never like your opponent, ever. And because this is a rivalry, you like them less than everyone else. You are never going to like who you're playing against." Then he went on to say, "Michigan State? No, we don't like them. They don't like us. That's the beauty of this game." Man, I love stuff like this. Just a pure dislike, a pure hate. They don't like each other, and you're gonna see it on Saturday, man. It's always a great time anytime in any sport that Michigan and Michigan State, you know, get it on against each other. So we'll have more because, again, Mark D'Antonio, it's Tuesday, and you know Mark D'Antonio had his morning presser, and he had some things to say about the rivalry. We'll be playing that later on in the hour. Stick around. You don't want to miss that. All right, Penn State has reportedly reached settlements with the victims in the Jerry Sandusky case, with the total cost to the university totaling $59.7 million. That's a lot of money. Sandusky, who is currently serving a 30 to 60 year prison sentence, was convicted in June in 2012 on 45 counts of sexual abuse of young boys. Now, of the 26 settlements, 23 are signed, with the remaining three to be finalized in the next month. Now, this is a direct quote from University President Rodney Erickson. He said in a statement that, quote, "We hope this is another step forward in the healing process for those hurt by Mr. Sandusky and another step forward for Penn State. We cannot undo what has been done, but we can and must do everything possible to learn from this and ensure it never happens again at Penn State." Now, the agreement ends civil litigation for the 26 men involved, though the university itself can still seek damages from the Second Mile, which is the charity Sandusky used to lure in young men. How about that? All right, Monday Night Football, thanks to a last-second goal line stand by their stingy defense, the Seattle Seahawks survived a lackluster offensive performance to beat the St. Louis Rams in a lackluster game, 14-9. A snoozer, folks. Now, despite getting just 7 first downs and 23 yards from running back Marshawn Lynch, the Seahawks made just enough plays to beat the struggling Rams. Golden Tate hauled in 2 touchdown passes, including an 80-yarder in the third quarter that gave Seattle an 8-point cushion. Now, despite missing starting QB Sam Bradford, the Rams outgained the Seahawks behind a strong game from running back Zach Stacy, who had 134 yards. Unfortunately for St. Louis, Seattle's defense turned them over twice, intercepting 2 passes before the deciding goal line stand, which ended on a Kellen Clemens incomplete pass on 4th down. That was kind of really a snoozer game for me, guys. All right, recently suspended Redskins safety Brandon Merriweather has finally decided to change his ways. Now, having had several run-ins with the league office for head-to-head hits, Merriweather is vowing to target players' knees instead. He said this on Monday morning in the Redskins locker room, quote, I guess I just gotta take people's knees out. That's the only way. I would hate to end a guy's career over a rule, but I guess it's better other people than me getting suspended for longer. You just have to go low now, man. You've got to end people's careers. You've got to tear people's ACLs and mess up people's knees. You can't hit them high anymore. That's kind of a, man, that's a dirty, honest statement from Brandon Merriweather right there. Now, Merriweather also traded barbs with Chicago Bears wideout Brandon Marshall, who made comments after their October 20th meeting suggesting that Merriweather should be suspended for longer. Now, Merriweather answered by bringing up Marshall's past, including domestic violence cases where he was arrested but never convicted. Merriweather said, quote, "He feels like I need to be kicked out of the league. I feel like people who beat their girlfriends should be kicked out of the league, too." Wow, man, this is dirty talk right here. All right, the NFL was aware of exchange, saying Merriweather's comments were completely inappropriate. So, man, Merriweather's pretty salty right now. How about that? All right, Tiger and EA. Tiger Woods has ended another sponsorship. The world's most popular golfer will no longer be involved with EA Sports' Tiger Woods PGA Tour, ending a 15-year partnership. I personally am pretty sad about this because I am a huge Tiger Woods PGA Tour EA Sports fan, and now the franchise is ending. Daryl Holt, the company's vice president and general manager, said in a statement, "We've always been big fans of Tiger, and we wish him continued success in all of his future endeavors." Now, the end of the deal means Tiger will no longer appear in the game as individual athletes can choose whether or not to be included. Now, EA Sports, which recently decided to stop making a college football game in the wake of the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit, will continue to produce games with the PGA Tour name. They just won't include the tour's most popular player. That game is not going to say, come on, Tiger Woods, this is the game. Like I said, the game's most popular player is not even going to be on the game. I don't know how they're going to sell. That's just ridiculous to me. I'm angry about that one. All right, NBA season tip-off. LeBron James and Miami Heat begin their second title defense tonight as the 2013-14 NBA season kicks off. I'm excited personally. Miami will host Chicago in one of three matchups sandwiched between Pacers and Magic and Lakers-Clippers to complete the triple header. Now, in what could be the final year of the Heat's reign of terror, LeBron and company will have to navigate on an improved Eastern Conference, which includes the new-look Brooklyn Nets and, yes, the Detroit Pistons. Now, the Pistons open their season tomorrow night hosting the Washington Wizards, and tune into Current Sports tomorrow as we will have a special NBA blowout special for you all, getting you ready for the Pistons tip-off and the NBA season as a whole. We're going to discuss a lot of NBA tomorrow, so tune in tomorrow. Well, those are your current sports headlines on this October 29th, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call right now, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. 9527. Today's current sports question of the day has to do with the MSU-Michigan rivalry game this Saturday. Call and give us a score prediction and tell us why you hate the maize and blue or green and white. Call us now, 517-355-9527. We'll also dive into your comments. Again, you can comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Many of you decide to weigh in and express your hatred on it. And also on Twitter, you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. All right. Well, yesterday, I mean, you guys were so involved and many of you called in. Thanks so much for calling in yesterday during our current sports show on the Lions and Cowboys game, which was deservingly so. It needs to be talked about because that was one of the greatest games I've seen in Lions history, one of the greatest performances we've seen in Lions history by Calvin Johnson, Megatron, over 300 yards. He was simply unbelievable. We were so into that conversation that we didn't get a chance to discuss MSU football in their weekend against Illinois, in which they topped Illinois 42-3. Yes, a convincing victory for the Spartans. 42-3 was the final of that one. And we're going to dive right into it. And Current Sports is everywhere. We were on the road, actually. Well, Alex was on the road, and he covered that Illinois game. And here was D'Antonio, Mark D'Antonio, about Cook's play and the overall team's play.
He's a competitor, and, you know, as he reassures me, you know, hey, don't worry. You know, I'll be fine. And it was just that. But I've seen him respond like that. So again, he's growing. You know, the expectations are very high when you play quarterback anywhere at this level. But he's growing as a young player. He's a redshirt sophomore, so you know, really got his first full start against Notre Dame. So good things are happening. You know, we need to continue to build on these things. We build a nice foundation of what we're doing. We're 7-1 right now. More importantly, we're 4-0 in the conference right now. So we sit on top of the legends, which I think is important. You know, we've got a strong defense. Our offense is coming. We're able to run the football. We've got balance. So we need to take care of business, but we just got to go one day at a time.
Yes, that was head coach Mark D'Antonio after that 42-3 win over Illinois, talking about his quarterback, Connor Cook, who went 15 for 16 for 208 yards and threw three touchdown passes. Here was Cook on his play and confidence.
Yeah, I mean, I continue to say it, and I have full confidence in myself. I always believe in myself no matter what the situation is. You know, coming off a performance that I had last week, is obviously I was upset and, you know, really focused on things I need to get better in practice. But I just always, you know, believe in myself, have faith in myself, and I told him, I was like, don't worry, we'll be okay.
Yeah, it's like, you know, that previous loss last weekend before Illinois just didn't even happen, where he kind of looked uncomfortable. They still won the game, but just Cook just seemed to brush it off and came in with a different mentality. And I tell you what, an interesting play that occurred during that game. If you saw it, you had to just be thinking in your mind, once the ball left Cook's hands, what are you doing? Then as the play developed and the ball somehow fell into the hands of Benny Fowler for a touchdown, you said, okay, we'll take it. Interesting play to say the least. Here was Cook talking about that crazy play.
You know, I was a little afraid just because I kind of underthrew it and there's two guys on him. But, you know, that was just, you know, me counting on Benny. You know, me knowing that Benny's capable of making plays like that. And if I just put it out there, you know, he can make some out of it. And, you know, that was me counting on him, having faith in him. And he came away with an amazing play.
Yeah, crazy, crazy play there. And also Josiah Price. He also had a 13-yard TD pass from Connor Cook in the third quarter to put MSU up 21-3. Alex also talked with Josiah about his first TD of his collegiate career.
That was a special play, you know, first career touchdown. I'll remember that for the rest of my life. And I think it came at a pretty key time, too. It put us up, I think, 28, and that's kind of one of our goals, to score 28 points every game.
Yeah, so again, MSU, they just didn't even make it close against Illinois. 42-3, topping Illinois. Illinois now is 0-3. Yes, 0-3 in the Big Ten. It's been quite a long time. Illinois, actually, their Big Ten losing streak now is 17 games. 17 games. Can you believe that? They're now 3-4, 0-3 in the Big Ten, as I just said. Michigan State, 7-1, 4-0 in the Big Ten, and they're now ranked, folks. Matt, let's go back in time for a minute. We didn't get to discuss it yesterday. What were your impressions of that 42-3 win?
Well, you always talk about you want a quarterback to have a short memory, and that is clearly the case with Connor Cook, because he did look like a different quarterback than the guy who played against Purdue. He was in command. He was in control. They caught a few lucky breaks. Obviously, that Benny Fowler play is the biggest one, because
yeah,
under no circumstances is that a good play. I mean, we'll take it, but it's not a good play. But at the same time, you know, he says he's confident in every situation, and it showed. I mean, they were absolutely money on third downs. That 99-yard drive seemed like it was third down every play, and they were always converting. They had guys just streaking over the middle of the field. The crossing routes were working. The offense seems to be putting things together, and granted, it was just Illinois, and they were in that game until the very end of the first half.
Right.
The way that they finished that game in the second half and just took the wind out of Illinois' sails, really just pounded them into the ground with their backups. You know, Delton Williams comes in, Nick Hill comes in, and they're still marching down the field. It's encouraging, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It does a lot for this team confidence-wise, especially for Connor Cook, because Cook, who, you know, he didn't have a great game against, you know, Purdue during that week. And it seemed as though afterwards, we talked to him afterwards, he just seemed like his confidence wasn't there. He just seemed out of it. He wasn't himself. And then he comes in this Illinois game, goes 15 for 16, 208 yards, three TDs. I mean, he just seemed like a totally different player, and he it's clear that Cook does not dwell on bad games, or at least right now. That's what we're seeing from him. He does not dwell. He does not sulk in it. He approaches the next game like it's a new day. And he was so great. I thought at his confidence. He looked comfortable. He read the field great that game. And I tell you what, when is the last time you saw a MSU starting quarterback go out and have a lead so, you know, just blowing out a team so big that you can bring in two backups and kind of just relax? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that especially was against a Big Ten team.
Oh, yeah. This is a conference
game. It's one thing to do it against,
right,
you know,
a Youngstown State
exactly,
or something like that. But, yeah, this is a conference
game.
It's
Illinois on the road.
Yeah.
You know, that's impressive. And, you know, you can say what you want about that Fowler throw, but if that's an incompletion, he still goes 14 of 16.
Exactly.
It's still a great game.
It is.
And, you know, one of the other impressive things is just how many guys get involved. They had 10 players catch passes. And, you know, looking ahead a little bit to this Michigan game where they have two real big-time playmakers as far as pass catchers in Funchess and Gallen. And then you look at State and it's everybody. It's just whoever is open on that play. I mean, Keith Mumphrey, we haven't heard Keith Mumphrey's name be called in, I'd say, over a month.
Yeah, quite a long time.
And he has a huge touchdown catch. He makes a big third down conversion earlier in the game. He was everywhere. He was the leading receiver. So it's
77 yards, 3 receptions, 1 TD. I mean, he was great.
Exactly. And it's just, it seems like it's a different guy every week stepping up. And, you know, the last year and a half of the wide receivers taking their lumps and all the drop passes and all the bad press, I think, you know, they're kind of coming out of that on the other side. And you know, they survived and it made them stronger. And it looks like a really strong unit now. Whereas at the beginning of the season, that was the biggest question mark of the team.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And, you know, they're starting to, at least in this game, they look to be coming up. You know, and this is one of those games. I actually chose Illinois to win.
You did.
I chose Illinois
and
to win.
And for a second
game.
There, it looked like you were a smart man. I mean, they get that field goal on the first drive. And then Connor Cook, confident in every situation.
Right.
Maybe don't be quite as confident when you're diving into the end zone, extending the ball.
Exactly.
From
he
what
fumbles.
Appeared about 7 yards out.
Oh,
you are
yeah.
not Superman, Connor.
You are not. Yeah,
know
when
your
I
limits.
Saw that, when I saw that play, I'm like, what is Connor doing? You know what I mean? But even then, I mean, even in that moment, Connor, you know, it's so funny because when that moment happened, when he came to the sideline, something interesting that the announcers pointed out was that the coaching staff, they didn't talk to him at all. Like, he just got, after that moment, he walks to the sidelines. D'Antonio says nothing. None of the players say nothing. The assistant coaches say nothing. They just let him just kind of process it, and it's kind of showing some confidence and faith in him that, okay, you screwed up, but, you know, we're not pulling you. You'll get him next time. You know what I mean? And I thought that was a really cool moment. I think it does a lot, you know, for you because your quarterback, especially for Michigan State, this had this whole quarterback controversy, something we talked about at the beginning of the season a lot. To have that and you know – even though Connor Cook may want to deny it now, you know, back in the day, even in the Purdue game, when you got Andrew Maxwell warming up on the sidelines, I mean, seeing stuff like that can do it kind of demoralizes you in a way if you let it get to you. And MSU, as far as a confidence standpoint, letting him kind of just walk to the sidelines and take that moment in and put him back out there said a lot for the MSU coaching staff, for that team, and his confidence. So it was an interesting point in the game. But yeah, another thing with Connor was that he showed his mobility a lot. It shows that's why a big reason why Cook, I think, is starting, to be honest with you, because he not only showed you that he can throw and can read the field better. He showed a lot of people that he can read the field better than in that Purdue game, I tell you that. But overall, Cook showed that he can not only throw the ball, but he can also run it as well. And you saw that mobility a lot. And I think that's what the coaching staff loves about from Connor Cook. But I also want to note Jeremy Langford, though. Jeremy Langford had, another outstanding game, over 100 yards, 22 carries, 2 touchdowns. He's something special for this team. And he
runs so hard.
Yes. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He's so elusive. You know what I mean? That's something about him that, you know, when he gets the ball, it's hard for that first man to get him down, you know, and he just keeps on going. He's got a head of steam to him, too. Jeremy Langford, he's been great. The MSU defense, first in the nation, at 228 yards a game. They held Illinois, though, to just 128 yards, only 25 on the ground. That's unbelievable.
It makes things a heck of a lot easier when you make a team completely one-dimensional, and it seems like they do that week after week after week.
Exactly.
And, you know, granted, they only had one interception, but I feel like sooner or later they're going to come to a game where they're gonna get a couple of them, and they're going to get maybe 3 or more. Because when you make a team one-dimensional and you make them have to throw, you know, the guys they have at corner and at safeties, you know, they're going to start making more plays, and I think it's coming. One of these weeks they're going to have a big, big defensive week, and it's not just going to be Shalik Calhoun forcing fumbles. It's going to be guys in the secondary making plays. And the interception they had by Lewis – was incredible. Wasn't I don't know it? How he caught that ball.
He makes crazy plays. I mean, look at the one against Purdue. Look at the one. I mean, he just
goodness.
Keeps his foot in somehow.
Some of them are sick.
He's something else. I mean, MSU right now on that defense, they have about 6 to 7 future NFL players on that defense right now. Unbelievable.
And they
number
play
one
team
nation.
Defense.
They do. It's
That's
not
the
any
best
individual.
Part.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about Max Bulla. I mean, Max Bulla being the engine behind that train. He is something else, man. The way he can read offenses, the calls that he makes out on the field, that emotional type leadership, he's unbelievable, man. You know, he's the Ray Lewis of the MSU defense, I tell you that. So,
and that goal line stand.
Yeah, in the second quarter. That goal line stand in the
second
quarter
changed the game.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you capitalize off of it and have a 99-yard drive.
Right.
That really kind of started to put the nails in the coffin for Illinois, and that was the turning point, to me at least, was that goal line stand. It was huge.
Right. Exactly. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to actually dive into it's Michigan week. MSU versus Michigan. We're going to dive into, give us our thoughts on it, and we're going to really dissect it a little bit and play what D'Antonio had to say in this morning's presser. So don't go anywhere. If you want to comment on this MSU and Michigan rivalry, give us a call. 517-355-9527. What do you think is going to happen this weekend? That's right. Michigan and Michigan State, Spartans and Wolverines, Spartan Stadium. Doesn't get any better than that. Don't touch that dial. Current Sports is coming right back. Triple A, couldn't wait the love I got
for the girl. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, it is college essay season. We will ask a person who reads them for a living what to do and what not to do.
When possible, avoid the D's. Divorce, disease, death, disabilities.
Tips for college essays next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now coming up at 2 p.m.
Every weekday afternoon at 4, All Things Considered keeps you up to date on current events nationally and around the world. I inform you on what's happening at the state and local levels. Hi, I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered. Join me as we stay on top of the things that matter to you on All Things Considered, weekdays from 4 until 6 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. All right, we're going to dive into MSU and U of M. Yes, the rivalry will be in full effect this Saturday as they hit the gridiron against each other, Spartans and Wolverines. And, Brady Hoke and D'Antonio, they've been taking jabs at each other as custom every single time these two teams meet up. D'Antonio, he had his morning presser today and addressed the media and talked about what makes this rivalry so special.
Big game, obviously, always a big game here. I think, I think in this state, I've said it many, many times, I think you grow up either green or you grow up blue. Not too many people are any different than that in Michigan. So it's an exciting opportunity for our players, a great challenge for our players, always has been. It's a game that we point to every year, and it's a great rivalry game. And I think I've been on record as saying I embrace the rivalries. I think you're exciting for college sports and high school sports, and it just gets you going a little bit. So they got a great football team. You know, this game means more than just winning and losing in state. It's an opportunity to really sort of take control of the legends a little bit, or at least push forward. The stakes get higher as we go. I think it's a national game too, because it'll have a meaning in terms of bowl implications and those type of things. So. Just a great football game. We'll look forward for it to being a battle, as it always is, hard-hitting game, and a lot of emotion. So I'll take some questions. We'll sort of go from there. It's probably the best way to do it.
Mark, coming out of Ann Arbor yesterday, they talked about being out tough. They talked about being bullied for a guy that talks about wanting a tough team. Was that a compliment?
I stand away from those things. I'm going to worry about our football team right now. I think that game in 2011 was a tough football game, a lot of emotion, and sometimes things spun out of control maybe a little bit as well. But I think it was a great football game. So
My main focus is to get our players playing hard. We always have. We're going to play tough. We're going to play within the rules. And the refs have to control the football game. I think that's very important because it goes on both ends. So that's where I'm at with that.
Mark, how is defending Devin Gardner different than defending Denard Robinson?
I think that our feelings are that Devin Gardner can make a lot of plays in space, obviously. He's a bigger guy. I think he runs through tackles a little bit more effectively, maybe. You got to do a lot of different things with him that they didn't do with Denard, probably because of the offenses conceptually, I think, are different. I think it's a little bit more power game with Michigan right now than it was maybe prior to. But they're both outstanding players. They both make plays. I think the key component in the game that we'll be able to control his running ability, and then obviously throwing the football to Bunches, Gallon, and you know, the rest. I think they're both excellent players. I mean, you can't repeat what Denard Robinson's been able to do in his career.
If I'm reading body language right, you seem to have a genuine respect or like for Brady Hoke, if there is such a word in this rivalry. Accurate? I mean, you wouldn't say so if it were otherwise, but you seem to...
Yeah, that's accurate. But I will say this, if you guys can print all this, just because you like somebody in the family doesn't mean you like the whole family. So, but I have a great deal of respect for Brady and his coaching abilities. And, you know, very close with his brother, so back in the day. So, you know, good man.
What is having a program like Michigan, which is viewed as one of the top seven or eight kind of historical programs in state, do when you're trying to build your own program? What kind of challenges does that present, having something like that next day?
Well, we've got great programs throughout the Midwest, you know, that have been around for a long time. I think we compete with the University of Michigan every single day, every single week, whether it's on recruiting, whether it's fundraising, a lot of different things. I think everybody at Michigan State, whether it's if I'm talking to Tom Izzo, they're competing against some of the same things. So, you know, I've really never thought about it like that because it sort of is what it is. You know, so I just worry about what I can control. And we try and do the very best we can in terms of the things we can control. And based on my count right now, we're up. Big time place. I'm sorry.
From all the words that were exchanged 5 years ago, do you think just your four victories in a row revived this rivalry and made a statement to them?
Well, I think for it truly to be a rivalry, it cannot be one-sided. I mean, it can still be a rivalry. But I think it makes when it's much more competitive, obviously things take on a whole new meaning.
Yeah, that is head coach Mark D'Antonio of the Michigan State football team. He addressed the media this morning and talked about this rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State, which will clash on Saturday. For an always, always interesting game. I also want to note that Michigan sophomore tight end A.J. Williams will serve a one-game suspension for a violation of team rules. A news release from Michigan announced that Williams would not play against Michigan State. Williams was arrested Sunday morning after failing to stop at a stop sign in Oxford, Ohio, and charged with operation of a vehicle under the influence of alcohol and underage drinking. That's being reported from the Blade in Toledo, Ohio. Williams registered a 0.122 blood alcohol level in an on-site breathalyzer exam. And Williams has appeared in 19 games for the Wolverines, making 4 starts. So his game snaps will likely be picked up by freshman tight end Jake Butt or redshirt junior Jordan Pascortz. So there you go. Michigan has suspended A.J. Williams. That has been reported. That was reported last night, actually. So, all right, Matt. Well, let's dive into it, man. I'm excited. I'm sure you're excited. I'm sure everyone in Michigan is excited. As MSU and Michigan, they clash in this always heated rivalry. What do you think is going to happen, man?
Al, I have no idea. And anyone who says otherwise is lying.
They're lying. They think they're just talking out their butts.
Both of these teams are so inconsistent. It's so tough to get a read week to week on what they're going to do that to really, you know, make a guarantee or a bold proclamation,
right?
It's foolish.
It's up in the air.
Because, I mean, you know, look at Connor Cook versus Purdue versus Connor Cook versus Illinois. Different guy.
Right.
I mean, look at Devin Gardner versus Akron versus Devin Gardner versus Notre Dame.
Right.
Different guy. I mean, it's just game to game. Neither team has really gotten everything together. Now, Michigan State had a great effort against Illinois last week. We'll see if they can carry that through, especially offensively. We know what we're going to get from the defense. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's going to be this strength versus strength and relative weakness versus relative weakness. And, you know, the big plays are probably going to be made when Michigan State's on defense and Michigan's on offense. But I think the game will be won when Michigan State's on offense and Michigan's on defense. Because if Connor Cook and Jeremy Langford can get things going, I think with home field, it's going to be tough for the Wolverines.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked about it yesterday after the show. I mean, when we didn't get to this conversation, talking about, you know, how both of these teams have been so inconsistent from week to week to week. I mean, Michigan State at homecoming against Indiana, 42-28, looked great. Then the offense goes stagnant against Purdue. Then they rev up again against Illinois. And then you look at Michigan where, you know, they have close games against just mediocre opponents. When Akron, I mean, winning 28-24, Connecticut, 24-21. I mean, you look at games like that, and you look at Devin Gardner, who has thrown 10 interceptions this season so far. His completion percentage is 61%. He is the second team on as far as rushing goes. He is always a threat on the run. He's second on the team in rushing at 520 yards. We know Devin Gardner is going to run. I think it's safe to say we know that the MSU defense is going to have a decent game. I think if there's anything, if you're going to make any prediction, you can, you know, harp on those two things, because those have been the only things consistent when it comes to Michigan State, at least. It's tough. It's tough to try to predict this one because you never know what you get week to week with both of these teams. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how Connor Cook handles the big spotlight now. I mean, you're talking about Michigan. This is a rivalry that has just rich history. You know, these two teams do not like one another. We know that these teams are going to go out there and try to knock each other's heads off. We know that. I'm interested to see how you know, to be honest with you, though, how Devin Gardner and Connor Cook both handle it, because this is Devin Gardner's first year. I mean, if you look at last year with Shoelace, I mean, Shoelace was a starting QB. He led that team to that final drive. I was actually on the field when that happened and, you know, covering that game. I'll never forget, you know, when that kick went up and went through the uprights and I got mobbed on the field. I mean, it was unbelievable atmosphere, and it just really showed how much – because Michigan can go around all they want and say, little brother, we don't care. They're not our true rival. Ohio State is it. They can go around and say that, you know, left and right. But, you know, being at that game and seeing that moment and hearing those fans and students on the field and the words that they were mouthing off, you know, down in Michigan State, that rivalry is there tenfold. I don't care what they say. I don't care how much they try to downplay
it. Okay? That's such a big load of crap when they say that we're not, or Michigan State's
brother,
not a rival, or, you know, we're only worried about Ohio State. Please, you would not be rushing the field.
Exactly, yeah. It will be any other, just
after
like any other
win. Two-point victory at home
in
a game you're supposed to win
with
a senior quarterback. It's just like, it doesn't add up.
No.
All the fans speak about, you know, the order of our rivalry. It's Ohio State, Notre Dame, and then Michigan State.
Michigan State. They put Notre Dame over Michigan State.
Gosh.
Crazy, right?
Ridiculous.
So
it's not even worth arguing about because it's so dumb.
Right.
You know, it's like, all that matters now, right now, is the Michigan State rivalry.
Right.
That's it.
Exactly. They don't like us. It's vice versa. You know what I mean?
There's no love lost
on
either side. And I think, you know, when you're going into just like factors of the game, it looks like it's going to be tough for Michigan to run the ball with Fitzgerald Toussaint. And they've had
that defense.
He's been on and off all year, and I don't see him doing much of anything. If they had 30 carries for 30 yards against Penn State, I don't see them doing much better against MSU. The question is going to be on those read option plays, can they contain Devin Gardner?
Right.
And I think one of the big keys with that is Shalit Calhoun and Marcus Rush on the edge.
Right.
Don't overplay it. you know, Will Golston, for all his accolades and how great he was, he would get himself out of position constantly.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
And State would get burned by it.
Right.
So I
right.
think those two guys staying at home, you know, knowing your keys, it's going to be huge because Devin Gardner is not Denard Robinson. When he gets outside the pocket, he's not just going to look to run or to throw a terrible, you know, floater that gets picked off. He's able to look down the field and make plays.
Yeah, he is. I think they're going to hit. Better quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. Far and away. He's just got a much better arm.
Yeah, he's got a much better arm. I think he reads the field better. And, you know, Michigan State, I thought overall, I mean, let's be honest here. I think Devin Gardner is going to get a few big runs here and there. You know what I mean? Because Michigan State
He'll
is
hit
great.
A couple. He'll hit a couple.
I think he will. Let's be honest. I mean, he does it every game. Michigan State has been so great this entire season, defensive-wise, when it comes to the pass rush, that Devin Gardner, he's not going to have a chance to just sit back in the pocket and just chillax and just pick and choose his targets. That pocket is going to collapse, and when it does, you got to be ready for Devin Gardner to sprint out of it and try to make something happen with his feet, because that's going to happen a lot, I think, this next week. And I think Michigan State is going to handle it. I mean, we're talking about the number one defense in the nation. Now, granted, something I also want to bring in to this conversation is that when I look at the discussion, Matt, and look at Michigan State and, you know, what they've gone through team by team by team every single week this season so far, I kind of look at what quarterbacks have they really played this season. They haven't really played anybody. You know what I mean? And if you look at – and this is what I think this will be the biggest test for them this season. If you look at, you know, Zach Terrell of WMU, nobody. Bobby Everill of South Florida, nobody. Kurt Hess, Tommy Reese, okay. Tommy didn't have a great game. I thought the MSU defense did a great job with containing him that game. But Tommy's not a great, outstanding quarterback nationally. Jake Ruddock, Nate Sudfield, Danny Etling. I mean, these are no names to be at the end of the day. When you talk about Devin Gardner – this is a guy who we were talking about when you look at the Notre Dame game, Heisman talk about him. You know what I mean? When he came in last season, he made a lot of noise and looked pretty decently, you know, good, you know, to close out Michigan season last year. He's a guy he's a playmaker. He's a playmaker. They haven't played a playmaking quarterback until this week, and I'm interested to see how they handle it.
Now, you wouldn't say Shieldhouse is.
No, I don't even think Shieldhouse is. I wouldn't even consider him a big playmaker,
but
you know what I mean, when you talk about quarterbacks.
You got to look at the flip side, and Devin Gardner's never played a defense like this.
Exactly.
You know, it works
very
both
point.
Ways.
Yeah.
I mean, because.
That's what's
going to
be so interesting,
you know,
to see
he's
who.
Going up against Akron and
right.
struggling, and then they get beat by 60 the next week.
Exactly.
And, you know, they barely squeak by Connecticut, and then 2 weeks later, Connecticut fires their coach. So
right.
it's like. It works both ways. We just we don't know.
We don't.
The sample size is, you know, relatively small.
Yeah.
And it's not that telling because neither team has really played anybody great. And you know, Michigan had the big win over Minnesota. You know, Michigan State had their big win on the road at Iowa.
Yeah.
And those are good wins, but they're not great wins. They're not anything that you can point to and say, this is going to happen because they've done this.
And let's be honest, if there was some, you know, level of consistency with the MSU offense that you can point at, and then we can make some final conclusions here to a degree. You know what I mean? But we can't. I mean, if you look at the MSU's rushing attack, maybe, I think overall the attack on the ground for MSU has been relatively consistent in what they tried to do with Langford. You know,
and it's gotten better every week.
It's gotten better every single week, you know. So I think there's something we can point to. But yeah, I mean, but I think I will say this though. I think whoever wins this weekend's game is going to win the Legends. We talked about this yesterday. I think if Michigan State beats Michigan, or vice versa, whoever wins this game is going to come out as the favorite for the Legends title. I mean, if you look at Michigan's schedule, I mean, after Michigan State, they have Nebraska. Northwestern, Iowa, and then they got Ohio State. So, and if you look at MSU's schedule, it's a little bit lighter. I wouldn't say lighter, but I mean, Michigan. They have Michigan at home, of course. They travel to Nebraska, Northwestern, and then Minnesota. I think Michigan State, if they get over this hump, they're going to win the Legends.
Finally, they got a season where they didn't have to play Wisconsin and Ohio State.
Exactly. I know, right? Yeah, it
finally
worked out well for them. I tell you
tired,
that.
I mean, yeah. As much as I love the Wisconsin games,
yeah.
Gosh, it's tough to play them twice in a year or, you
it
know,
is.
At least once.
Better for the fans, though. I tell you what, because
definitely better for the fans.
This
schedule was pretty rough.
Oh, man.
No offense to the teams that we've played right. or will play, but it's just
right.
like, come on.
This is like the only game I really look forward to this entire season.
I mean, when you looked at the schedule, this is the one that clearly jumps out. And it
right.
always does because it is the rivalry
it's
game.
It's the rivalry
but,
game, you know. But overall, I mean, oh, my gosh.
It's tough.
Terrible. It's very, very tough.
Although Minnesota, coming along. They beat Nebraska. Right. That was huge.
That's why
this game, it means so much. It means even more than it normally would, because Nebraska lost. Northwestern's just out of it.
Right.
What happened to Northwestern?
They just totally just blew up.
Wheels have fallen off.
The wheels have definitely fallen off. You know, something we didn't say at the beginning of the season, it just gradually, just like you said, you just scratch your head.
Yeah.
What happened?
Every week after week. But
yeah,
this game, it's going to come down to just who makes more plays. I think the line play in the trenches is going to be huge on both sides, and that's one of the other reasons I kind of lean towards Michigan State, just because
yeah,
the offensive line has been the best of D'Antonio's regime,
right?
I would say. I mean, they finally have been injury-free so far.
Knock on wood.
And the defensive line, obviously, I mean, that Michigan front has struggled. They can't open up holes for Fitzgerald Toussaint. They, you know, Gardner gets these big scrambles, but they can't just churn out 5 yards of carry and put a team away like Michigan teams of old used to do all the time. There's no Chris Perry rushing the ball 43 times for 200 yards. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Especially, I mean, MSU's defense is so good that like we said, MSU hasn't gone against, I don't think they've gone against a quarterback like this that's mobile and can also read the field, and vice versa, where Devin Gardner hasn't seen, you know, this is the nation's top defense. They held Illinois to 25 yards on the ground last week. It's going to be interesting. So give me a prediction. What's the score?
I think it's going to be close.
Okay.
I think Michigan State is going to win. Oh, boy.
You are going with State.
I am. I don't like, you know, reading this on the air, because now I feel like I'm going to jinx everybody. But I'm going to say Michigan State 28, Michigan 20.
Wow, that's pretty close to my prediction. I'm going MSU as well.
Mm-hmm.
And MSU wins 27-21.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Very. Wow.
Yeah.
Eerily close.
Eerily close. That was my prediction. So we'll see. And also, you know, we've asked you all to weigh in on the Michigan and Michigan State rivalry and the football game. And Tommy, well, I just want to read Tommy's tweet. He says, "State by 2 TDs unless they start making stupid plays." All right. Well, that's logical.
That's always a factor.
That's always a factor. Right, UM can't stop a soul, so we can score at least one definite TD for MSU. So thank you, Tommy, for weighing in. Tommy actually is also a broadcast journalism major. I went to school with Tommy, so thanks a lot for weighing in on that, Tommy. And if you want to call in and give your thoughts and predictions on this MSU-Michigan game, give us a call, 517-355-9527 here at the studio. Again, 517-355-9527. We're going to take a quick break and then come back. And yes, high school football playoffs start this Friday. Can you believe that? The regular season is done. It's in the books. We're going to read you the matchups when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back at you.
On the next Fresh Air, we remember Lou Reed, who died Sunday at 71. We'll talk with Bill Bentley, who was Reed's longtime friend, worked as his publicist, and wrote liner notes to some of his recordings. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. You know, those were different times. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Throughout most of today's Current Sports, we've been talking about the Michigan and Michigan State college football game. Again, MSU and Michigan, they will go head up. That's right, 3:30 p.m. at Spartan Stadium on ABC. Current Sports, of course, will be at the game, giving you coverage of that game on Monday. So, definitely a heated rivalry. In the meantime, though, again, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show on what do you think will happen in this Michigan-Michigan State game. Call us, 517-355-9527. Give us your thoughts on the game. Give us a prediction. And, give us your thoughts on, you know, what makes this rivalry so special and the hate that Michigan and Michigan State have for one another. So, we're taking your calls throughout this entire show. We got about 11 minutes left. And really quick, I want to read you The high school football playoff matchups. Yes, high school football is officially done. The regular season, I should say, is officially done. And now the postseason begins this Friday. And there are a number of local teams around the mid-Michigan area that will be hitting the gridiron and, hoping to make that championship appearance at Ford Field. Let's just go through them really quickly. Holt is in the playoffs in Division One. They will take on their first-round opponent of Flint Carmen Ainsworth, who finished the season 8-1. In Division Two, Everett, who was in the CAAC Blue, also with Holt, Everett will take on Portage Central, who is undefeated on the season at a 9-0 record. Division Three, Eden Rapids, they will take on Charlotte. Charlotte finished the season 7-2. Those are two local teams there, Eden Rapids and Charlotte. So there you have that. Hazlitt, this is the game Current Sports will be at. Hazlitt and DeWitt. Yes, Hazlitt and DeWitt will be going at it in the first round of the playoffs. As we move on here, Ionia, they will take on Sault Ste. Am I saying this right? Say it for me, Matt. Sault Ste. Marie, is that what it is?
Sault Ste. Marie.
Sault, thank you for that. Why is it spelled S-A-U-L-T? I don't get that. It's called Sault. That's ridiculous to me. Whoever made it that, I don't get that. All right, anyway, Sault Ste. It's French. It's French, Aaron told me. Okay, I don't get that at all. So, all right, Sault Ste. Marie will take on Ionia. And Ionia, of course, is in the CAAC Red. Moving on now, Mason. Their first-round opponent will be Tecumseh, who was 7-2. In Division Four, Corunna. We'll take on Sexton, Corunna and Sexton. Sexton, of course, they finished at 9-0. Williamston, Lake Fenton. Williamston and Lake Fenton, of course, Williamston in the CAAC White. Division 5, Lansing Catholic and Ovid Elsie. That's right, Lansing Catholic will take on Ovid Elsie in the Division 5 matchup. Olivet and Hopkins. Olivet and Hopkins. Hopkins finished the year 7-2. Olivet was 8-1 in the overall and 8-1 in the league. So Portland will take on Grand Rapids West Catholic. Portland was undefeated in the CAAC White at 5-0. How about that? Ithaca, the powerhouse of Ithaca in Division 6, they will take on Sanford Meridian. And my money's on Ithaca. They are just a powerhouse. The number one ranked team in Division 6 in the entire state and have one of the longest winning streaks in the history of high school football nationally. All right, Division 7, Bath. They will take on Elkin, Pigeon Bay, Port Lacker. Wow, that's a mouthful. Bath and Elton, Pigeon.
How many wins do they have in there?
I know, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that a long name? Elton, Pigeon Bay, Port Lacker. No lie, that's the name of the school. Whew. Crazy, right?
It's tough to put that on a jersey.
I know. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that niche. That'd be EPBPL. That's still a lot.
That's a lot. That's too much.
That's too much. So there you have it. That's Bass opponent. Carson City Crystal, they would take on Evart. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Everts or Evart. I don't know. But Carson City Crystal will take on those. Pewamo Westphalia, they will take on Swagatuck. Swagatuck at 8-1. They finished 8-1. Pewamo Westphalia was 7-0, undefeated in the league. Division 8, Fowler and Baldwin. That's an easy one. Fowler and Baldwin will go at it. Fowler, of course, in the CMAC. And also want to note that eight-man football. Portland St. Pat's will take on Carsonville Port Sanilac. So there you have it. Those are your local teams in around mid-Michigan who have made postseason play. On behalf of Current Sports, we wish you all the luck in the world. You try to make that journey to Ford Field. How about that? I have a hunch that I think Ithaca's going to be there. I just have a hunch.
Something tells me maybe it's week after week of 42-6 scores. Something says they're probably going to have a good shot at it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And we don't have much pick'ems today because we didn't get to pick'ems. I mean, do we have any pick'ems?
No, we don't have much before Friday's NFL throwdown. We'll just go Miami at Florida State.
I'm going with Florida State.
Yeah. This game used to be huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes, it did.
You're taking FSU.
I'm going to take FSU.
I'm going to take the Noles as well. Jameis Winston.
He's unbelievable.
He is
that kid's
so
a freshman.
Good.
And it's just, it's like he's been on. He's played college football all his life. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. Jameis Winston, hats off to you, brother.
Really good.
I can't go against him. Anything else?
Special player. NFL Thursday, Cincinnati at Miami.
I'm going with Cincy.
Cincy?
Yeah.
This is tough. I think it's going to be, obviously, you know, Cincinnati coming off that blowout win over the Jets.
Yeah, the momentum.
Miami going home after a loss to the Dolphins, or to the Patriots, rather. Hey, I'll take Cincinnati as well. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, I was about to say. All right, man. Okay.
Let's do some top five.
Top five Tuesday. We got a special one for you. Halloween is right around the corner, folks. Halloween. I love this time of the year. I don't really go trick-or-treating like that. I'm a grown man. I don't do that anymore. That'd be kind of weird. But I do just sit in my crib and just watch scary movies as custom every single Halloween night. And on Current Sports, we decided to list our top five scariest athletes in sports history. This should be a fun one. Matt, what's your list look like, man? I'm curious.
All right. Number five. This one might come as a bit of a surprise. It's going to be Steve Smith of the Carolina Panthers.
Steve Smith. He's scary to
you? And he's on the list because I would not want to be, you know, in a beef with – I would not want to have a beef with him because he pretty much gets in a fight every week, or at least, you know, exchanges some shoving and, you know, there's comments after the game. He's gotten in a fight with Janoris Jenkins recently, Xavier Rhodes a few weeks ago.
Okay.
He's 5'9". He's, you know, tiny by NFL standards. That dude is tough as nails. I would not want to be on the receiving end of his wrath. Number four, Ugether Bina, former Tigers reliever. Perhaps you remember back in 2005 when he was arrested in Venezuela on charge of attempted murder because five farm workers on his property, he accused them of stealing a gun, went after them with a machete, and tried to set them on fire with gasoline.
Okay, that's a scary guy.
Yes.
Wow.
So he definitely makes the list.
Yeah, he definitely makes the list.
He was recently released on December 24th, 2012. So that's great news for
him. Good news.
Hopefully he rehabilitated himself properly. Number three, Mike Tyson.
Okay.
And he's number three just because I think he's mellowed a little bit recently. He seems like he's kind of putting things in perspective a little bit, you know. Number two, Ron Artest / Meta World Peace. Malice in the Palace, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be on the receiving end of a punch from him either.
You're right.
Number one, this is pretty easy, Aaron Hernandez.
Who is
Aaron
he?
Hernandez.
Aaron Hernandez. Oh, yeah. I
mean,
like that.
The guy is in jail for murder.
Yeah, he's in jail for murder. I mean, come on, man. That's just, I mean, you can't get any worse than that.
Exactly.
I mean, and you know what? A lot of people don't forget, though, that Ray Lewis, actually, you know, in a situation where he actually was involved in a murder.
And then he went on to win Super Bowl MVP the next season.
Exactly.
So.
That story just kind of gets shoved up under the rug.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? All the time. So, okay, I got a fun list. All right, times are ticking. I'm going to go with, in no particular order, here, Matt. I got to put Mike Tyson on my list because Mike, he's just Mike. You know, he's eating children and biting ears off. That says enough there. Mike Tyson is a scary brother. Used to knock guys out in the first few seconds of a match. Unbelievable there. Lawrence Taylor.
Good pick.
Yeah. LT would struck fear in anyone that he played against. He was an unbelievable football player at that. But, yeah, LT is a scary brother. He looks scary. You know what I mean? With the bald head and he's got the earring. It's a scary guy, man. I got to show, you know, wrestling some love here. The Undertaker.
Okay.
I'm going wrestling on you. The Undertaker is a scary brother. And he's been wrestling for,
Seems like forever.
Forever. Since I was born, I know at least. Unbelievable. Ron Artest definitely made my list. Ron is just a crazy guy. He's kind of toned it down over the years, I think, kind of.
He's still crazy. You never know. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. There's that element of unpredictability that.
Right, because some of Ryan's press conferences, he would like go on a tangent about like ice cream or something like that has nothing to do with the game. I'm like, dude, are you all right mentally, man? He's kind of crazy, man. All right, Dennis Rodman, definitely not just because I don't think Dennis Rodman is scary. He doesn't scare me, but he's just a weird guy that kind of makes him scary in a sense. You know what I mean? I mean,
unpredictability
is scary.
You never know what you're gonna get with Dennis Rodman.
The crazy hair, I don't know, man. And also got to put Brock Lesnar on my list as well. Brock Lesnar.
That's a good list. That's a good solid list.
Solid list, you think, right? So, man, Halloween. Gotta love Halloween. All right, well, there you have it. Before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharg and Matt Lefke. Engineer Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Tune in tomorrow to Current Sports on the radio as Dan Dickerson. Yes, We have Dan Dickerson, voice of the Tigers. He will join me and kind of dive into who he thinks is going to be the next Tigers manager. Thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. Again, sign up for Current Sports TV, WKAR.org. You listen to Current Sports with me. I'm Martin on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic day and be easy, people.